The teacher asked his class, "Which is more important to us, the moon or the sun?" One of the students answered, "The moon." The teacher asked why the moon was more important than the sun. The student explained, "The moon gives us light at night when we need it most. The sun just gives us light in the daytime when we don't really need it." As stupid as that sounds, I will hazard to claim that there are a whole lot of people out there these days, especially young ones, supposedly educated at prestigious universities, that are just as clueless about many different facets of life. Our country is practically being assaulted right and left by mobs of useful idiots, emphasis on idiots, for other than shouting mindless slogans and living luxuriously off the couple hundred years of accumulated wealth of this country, they seemingly are worthless human beings. The LGBTQ plus transgender airheads don't realize that if they carried on like they do here in, say, oh, let's pick one, how about Afghanistan? Well, they'd be shot on sight straight to death. Oh, but the ones with actual vaginas would probably be gang-raped before they were shot. If they were living in Tel Aviv, Israel, the most liberal city by far in the entire Middle East, they'd feel right at home. But leave the safety of progressive, democratic Israel and cross over into the Gaza Strip before the current war began, well, they'd be lucky if they ever came back alive. We, with many decades of life under our belts, mostly all senior citizens, have a really hard time wrapping our heads around such lunacy. But the big difference is that we grew up in a time when Americans still mostly respected God and Christianity. And the Holy Bible, the Book of Truth, tells us unequivocally that unless people reverence God, not only are they stupid and foolish, but with the passage of time, they actually lose whatever sanity they were born with. Like the imaginary boy in the classroom who couldn't conceive that it was because of the sun that it was light during the daytime. But conditions now are far, far worse than that. Just last week, another Jewish woman castigated her fellow female global feminists, calling them out that because of their hypocrisy in not condemning the sexual torture of Israeli women, these so-called feminists were not actually feminists at all. But that is just one example. There are all kinds of people who claim this or that, even to the point of believing things that are truly impossible, and expect other people to affirm them in their obvious, glaring insanity. So many such people groups have arisen that sociological, psychological scientists have named them. Furries is one such title for human beings who believe not that they were born with the wrong gender, but they were born in the wrong species completely. And rather than being human, they are actually some other animal. Some insist they're cats. Others maintain they're dogs or any number of other creatures. What these people truly need is counseling in a mental health facility staffed by Christian physicians who can both lead them to the Savior and in the process exorcise them of the many demonic spirits that have taken residence in their bodies, extinguishing what little light that still managed to penetrate their souls. Think I'm exaggerating? What did we just read in 2 Peter 2? the Apostle Peter, our Lord Jesus' right-hand man, writes a whole chapter warning about false teachers. These teachers were not pagan Romans and Greeks or whatever ethnic groups who lived in the empire. No, Peter is talking about Peter who claimed to be Christians, church members, were some even church leaders, pastors no less. Peter is here warning about wolves in sheep's clothing inside church walls. And were they darkened in their souls? Well, let's review. Verses 17 through 19 define them thus. These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. These are the clergy trotted out by liberals and abortionists at news conferences who are just as or even more deranged than the useful idiots marching in the streets. They have led whole, formerly Christian denominations into gross sin. And the members of such churches have not read their Bibles, chapters such as 2 Peter 2, to even recognize what's happening to them. Neglecting to think and investigate for themselves, they, as described by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:14, fall for every new trend and every new fashion in doctrine. Unstable doesn't even begin to describe their uselessness. But they do serve a purpose for the demons. They do not know or could even distinguish between good and evil, between a demonic spirit and a godly angel. Peter says of them in verse 10, these people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. They are so ignorant that they do not even feel any natural fear of the evil that can consume them whole in an instant. In contrast, the angels of God know better. Verse 11, but the angels, who are far greater in power and strength, do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. Though they would be correct in doing so, these angels know better than to get into a fight with them unless God has commissioned them to a specific confrontation. Peter further describes the useful idiots in verses 12 and 13. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is the reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. We can think of many people we see on the news who fit these descriptions exactly. But Peter is talking about such people attending churches. So the onus becomes for us to spot them and then to steer clear of them, or if possible, convert them. If they won't repent, if their hearts are so darkened they won't even allow a crack of light in, then they must be excommunicated from church membership. Excuse me. It's no accident that we're talking about this now. God is now exposing the demonic darkness plaguing so many souls. He wants those who will to see it, and as much as we can, to keep the lights on. For it is the light of the gospel of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, that reveals good from evil. December is the Christmas and Hanukkah seasons. God so happened to cause both of these celebrations to occur in the same month, year after year after year. Hanukkah, the festival of lights, referring to the one day's worth of candlelight oil that kept burning and burning for an entire 8 days until new oil could be made, is also called the festival of dedication, which is how John 10:22 refers to it, as the Apostle John records our Lord going to the temple and celebrating it. Hanukkah is called the Feast of the Dedication because it also commemorates the rededication of the temple after it had been reconsecrated, after it having been desecrated by the Seleucid Greek king Antiochus Epiphanes, who in the Holy of Holies set up a statue of Zeus while claiming that he himself was a representation of that pagan deity, and also sacrificed hogs on the altar, all to stop the Jews from worshiping God. Well, the Maccabees, the priestly family, took offense, as did faithful Jews, and miraculously, while vastly outnumbered and poorly equipped, God enabled them to drive the Greeks out of Jerusalem and Judea. The light of God was rekindled. The worship of the one and only true God would not be extinguished by any human being. So here we are on the fourth day of Hanukkah, halfway through the original miracle of the oil that would not run out. God will not let his light be overcome by the darkness. John 1:5 says it, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." It seems that the darkness is increasing around us and encroaching upon us. But we are to have no fear. We are to keep watch against the false ones, the duplicitous ones, the deceivers, the blatant sinners among us. At the same time, we, following the example of John the Baptist, are preparing the way of the Lord, which means preparing the way for Lord Jesus to come into the lives of many people that they may be saved. This is our modern day way of preparing the way for him. As the Baptist prepared the people's hearts to be ready to accept the Lord when he appeared, so too do we live our lives in truth as a true representation of life in Christ, so that others may see how we love all, are different than evil people who often have the greatest social media influence, are the most popular actors or politicians, etc. No, we're not them, and thank God. No, until our Lord returns, as our scripture lessons today promise, we are to keep the truth being broadcast, keep the oil flowing, and keep the lights on. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, so much, Father God, that you are light itself. Help us, through the light that you have placed within each of us by your Holy Spirit, to be lights in the darkness that is currently called America right now. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.